Daniel chapter 7. We'll continue our study. Now, as you will recall, Daniel is the key book for understanding God's timetable for the entire existence of man on this earth. So it's the key book. Remember, we saw in chapter 2, six nations that are going to exist before the end. We have the head of gold, which was the Babylonian Empire under King Nebuchadnezzar. We have the arms and shoulders of silver, which is the Medo-Persian Empire. That was fulfilled. The belly of bronze was the Grecian Empire. That was fulfilled. And then we have the legs of iron. And the common belief is that that was Rome. The alternate belief is that was Islam under the Ottoman Empire. And then we have the feet of iron and clay, which is the only one of that list of nations that has not yet been fulfilled. And that's either a revived Roman Empire or it's a revived Ottoman Empire. And then finally we have the stone made without hands that comes and strikes those feet, and all the other empires blow away like dust, and that stone grows and lasts forever, and that's God's empire. That's the kingdom of the Lord. So that's the history that we saw from Daniel 500 years before Christ. And we've had the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and those legs of iron, either the Ottoman Empire or the Roman Empire, all have been fulfilled. Come true, exactly. Last week, we completed this historical narrative of Daniel. And now we're in the prophetic section of Daniel, starting in chapter 7, which is going to be fun. Last week, Belshazzar was the ruler of Babylon. He was killed. He saw the writing on the wall, and he was killed. And that was in 537 B.C. We're going back 16 years now to 553 B.C., and Daniel's writing down a vision that he had. He's writing it down a few years later, but he's telling us an important vision. So chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So this is Belshazzar's first year as co-ruler under his dad, Nabonidus. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. Now, for Daniel, what was the great sea? It's the Mediterranean. It's the only great sea he knows. The great sea represents the people of the world, the nations of the world. And the four winds stirring up the great sea, well, that's God. He's stirring up the peoples of the world, and out of the people of the world come these four nations. Verse 4. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. So I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Anybody confused?
Yeah.
Okay, before we go on, he's recounting those first 4 nations. Look at the first one. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. That's Nebuchadnezzar. He's the only one that just had absolute rule over his country. If he wanted someone killed, he'd kill them. If he wanted them to live, they could live. He didn't have to answer to anybody. And it was, you know, the head of gold, an eagle. You know, it's eagle is prestigious, and he's got his wings, and he can fly. And then what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar that finally humbled him? Remember, God made him eat grass like an ox for 7 years. And he finally humbled him, and then his heart was made right, and he became a believer. And so look what happens, this first one. Lion had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side, Medo-Persian Empire. The Persians were stronger. So you've got shoulders and arms representing the Medo-Persian Empire. Here we have the bear on one side, and had 3 ribs in its mouth. It's devouring, it's eating. The empire is getting bigger, it's taken over. 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard. What's the deal with leopards? They're fast. What did Alexander the Great do? Quickly came across the whole region there and conquered it. He's a young general, and we'll read in another verse where he's a goat flying across the land, not even touching the ground. He's so fast. He quickly came in and conquered the whole area. A leopard which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. That's a fast leopard if it's got wings. They're fast with just their feet, but a leopard with wings, oh my stars. The beast also had 4 heads. He's talking about this leopard. And dominion was given to it. Alexander the Great conquered the territory and then died. And so his 4 generals took over. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. 4 wings helped him to fly, and dominion was given to those 4 generals. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast. Now this is the legs of iron and the feet of iron mixed with clay. And one thing I want you to notice about this description compared to the description in chapter 2, what do these nations look like in chapter 2? Head of gold, shiny and sparkly. Arms of silver, you can polish them up and it sparkles. Belly of bronze, it sparkles. And the legs of iron, well, they sparkle less, but legs of iron, you can polish iron. That's man's view. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar saw. Now, God is revealing to Daniel these same nations. And you notice how beastly they are. From God's view, they're not all sparkly and wonderful. They have these natures, these characteristics, they're more beastly. And so the 4th beast is interesting because I believe he's skipping the legs of iron. He's jumping to the feet of iron mixed with clay. But let me go on. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it. It's an important verse to read because I'm telling you, hey, it's either Rome or it's Islam. Well, the thing with Rome is it didn't conquer all that territory that all the other nations conquered. It's one problem. And remember that the territory, the whole world, is from Israel's perspective. The second thing is when Rome conquered areas, they tended to absorb people and come on into our laws and rules, and here we're going to build roads through there. And it was different than Islam. Islam crushed, trampled under feet. It's a whole different perspective. And so that's why there's the debate going on. Is it Rome or is it Islam? And it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, I read this, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. Now, what do horns represent in the Bible? They represent kings. The beast comes up out of the ocean, it's like nations, but the horns are leaders or kings. And so we have 10 horns, and then this little pompous horn comes up, and wipes out 3 of the other horns and takes control. Interesting. Verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place. Now we don't know who sits on these thrones. It could be the 24 elders. But the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. That's, of course, God. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. Gray hair, you're considered to be wise. His throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels, a burning fire. I just love this description of God. Wheels on the throne. Interesting. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. Now these would be angels. A thousand thousands. And then 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. These are the saved. That's us. Now when they say 10,000 times 10,000, he didn't really count and get that exact number. And they didn't have calculators back then. That meant innumerable. 10,000 times 10,000. There's no possible way a person could count them. That's how many people were out there, souls saved, standing before God. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I wonder what books. We have three books that we've heard of through the Bible. One is the Book of the Living, which we get out of Psalm 69, verse 28. And we get the Book of Remembrance, which is in Malachi 3:16. And the last one is the Book of Life, in Philippians chapter 4 and in Revelation chapters 3, 13, 17, 20, 21, and 22. So apparently that's the New York Times bestseller of those three. It's mentioned so many times, the Book of Life. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Yeah, would trouble me. When he says, I was grieved in my spirit within my body, I mean, why wouldn't you just say I was grieved in my spirit? My spirit within my body. This is interesting, because literally it's, was grieved in my spirit was grieved in the midst of my sheath, like the sheath you put a sword in. So you've got the sheath and you've got the sword. So he's grieved within his sheath. This is interesting because it shows that the spirit exists separately from the body. So he's grieved in the spirit, which happens to be in that dwelling place. When we go into heaven, he has other dwelling places for us. Our spirit goes there. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Now you notice I've really read a lot and haven't commented that much for my normal commenting. Because whenever possible, let's let the Bible interpret itself. You don't want to hear Roger's interpretation, hear the Bible's interpretation. And that's what we have coming up here. He asked for the interpretation of these things. 17, those great beasts which are four, are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. That's two verses. It's like all of mankind on earth. It reminds me of, you know, the difference between men and women. You know, men, hey, did you get a haircut? Yeah, $5. You know, women, yeah, they did this and they curled and it was so-and-so. Okay. This must be a man talking. Hey, give me the interpretation. Those four beasts are nations, but the saints win. That's kind of what he says here. That's good news. The four major kingdoms are the four nations, Babylonia, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and those legs of iron, or the feet and toes mixed with iron and clay. The second point, the end of the story, the believers win. 19. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. Sounds like a bad news nation. And the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before, which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Interesting description of that last beast. I'd like you guys to flip over to Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to compare that beast with this beast. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. That tells me we've got 7 nations, but 10 kings, 10 rulers. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Leopard, bear, lion? Who does that remind you of? Lion's Nebuchadnezzar. Leopard was Alexander the Great. The bear was the Medo-Persian Empire. The dragon gave him his power. That's Satan. Satan gave him his power, his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. If you do the math, that's 3.5 years. Last half of the tribulation period. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwelt on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has a hear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, do we have slide one? Okay, well, slide one was a comparison of Daniel and Revelation. Now, in Daniel, the beast has 10 horns. In Revelation, it has 10 horns. In Daniel, it rises out of the sea. And in Revelation, guess what? It rises out of the sea. In Daniel, it shall speak pompous words. And in Revelation, he's given a mouth speaking blasphemies. In Daniel, he will persecute the saints, and in Revelation, he'll make war against the saints. In Daniel, he has power for a time and times and half a time. A time and times would make 3, and half a time, 3.5 years. And in Revelation, he continues for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. We're talking about the same beast. In Revelation, this beast is known as the Antichrist. So Daniel, 500 years before Christ, is giving us our first look at the Antichrist. And imagine how that would trouble you if you have that dream and it's feeling just real, and there it is. God is showing him the end times. And so Daniel continues, "I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom." This is the end of the tribulation period and the beginning of the millennial reign is what we're reading about. And so the one that is interpreting all of this for him goes on in 23. "Thus he said, 'The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces.'" Now remember, this is the whole earth is from Israel's perspective. So he's going to take the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. "The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them," this little horn. "He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law." Now, how do you change times? How do you change law? What's going on over in the Middle East right now? Are they trying to change the laws? Yeah. It's called Sharia law. I'm going to do Sharia law instead of the laws that you have. They're even trying to do that in the United States. They're not succeeding. But over in the Middle East, they're succeeding. If you don't want to cooperate, what happens to you? your head's gone. So we know they're changing the law there. Well, what about this times thing? They have their own calendar. We have Greenwich Mean Time as the center. They have Mecca as the center. And the Islamic calendar is different than our calendar, the Gregorian calendar. So if Islam takes over, they're changing the laws and they're changing the time. Interesting. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Again, that's 3.5 years. The saints are going to, you know, Satan's going to be after them and they're going to suffer. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. So this is the beginning of the 1,000-year reign. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now, when it says all dominions, what is that? That's got to be the nations. So during the millennial reign, some of the nations still exist, but they serve Christ. They know Jesus is there in Jerusalem during the 1,000-year reign. Everyone knows, and they're serving the Lord. That's the prophecy. Amazing. It's going to be amazing to see. Now, I want to go to an interesting comparison of end times theology. This is between the Muslim faith and the Christian faith, or the Bible and Islam. The Bible has an antichrist. Under Islam, they're waiting for the Mahdi, or the 12th Imam. He's their Messiah that's supposed to come. And then, in the Bible, we have a false prophet. In Islam, they believe Jesus will return, and he's going to serve the Mahdi and help him to succeed. And when he returns, he's going to tell all of us how we've been wrong and that we need to convert to Islam. And if we don't, we get our heads cut off. So they've got their false, I would consider him their false prophet or our false prophet, but he's their return of Jesus. The Antichrist is going to have a strong army. In Islam, they predict that the Mahdi will have a strong army. The Antichrist is going to change times and laws. The Mahdi will enforce Sharia law and the Islamic calendar. We have the first white horse in the book of Revelation. Guess what the Mahdi is supposed to arrive on? A white horse. That first white horse comes to conquer, take over in the Bible. The Antichrist will promote a one-world religion. The Mahdi will make Islam the only option or its death. In the Bible, the Antichrist will execute infidels by beheading. And the Mahdi will execute infidels by beheading. The Antichrist will hunt and kill, this is in the Bible, will hunt and kill Jews and Christians. In Islam, the Mahdi will hunt and kill anybody who opposes him. And then in the Bible, we have the Antichrist and false prophet performing miracles to try to deceive even perhaps the elect. And in Islam, when the Mahdi comes, he performs signs and miracles. Very interesting comparison, isn't it? Now, when Muhammad was born, the Bible existed. So he could have looked at the Bible and copied a lot of it. You know, I don't believe in their prophecy. He might have looked at the Bible and copied the Bible's prophecy. But it's interesting, that comparison. And as we look at the news today, boy, it seems like Islam, the Islamic Caliphate, could be that beast. It's the same territory as all of the other nations were conquering that they want to conquer. Turkey, you know, down into Egypt and all the way down through Iraq and across northern Africa. It's the same territory. So, interesting. We could be watching the rising of that fourth beast right now. The times are very, very close. Now, there is one point that doesn't fit in this Bible versus Islam comparison. And that is, Islam doesn't predict that the Antichrist loses and Jesus wins. I wonder why, yeah. Then Daniel wraps it up with verse 23. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. He knows this is the real deal, but it troubles him, because it's sad watching the end times. Remember, the end times are more terrible than any time on earth. the wars and everything, it's more terrible than any time on earth. Think of World War II, how terrible that was. Think of what we're watching right now in the Middle East, if you were to live there, how terrifying that would be. The end times that Daniel is seeing is worse than all of that. It's all of that on super duper steroids. That would be troubling. But he wrote it down for us. And so today we have our first introduction to the Antichrist as we're going through the Bible. Now, we've seen fulfillment of Daniel's prophecies. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, Grecian and Rome or Ottoman, we've seen that occur. Daniel predicted it. He only saw Nebuchadnezzar and then he saw the Medo-Persian Empire. But the other ones happened just as he spoke that it would. When we see prophecy fulfilled, what does it do for us? Helps us to believe. Yeah. Helps us to believe. It's real. So we have strong evidence to trust Daniel's prophecies. Now, when God gives us a picture through Daniel of the end times, yikes, that's going to happen as well. We can believe Daniel. We can trust that prophecy. So how should we respond? As Christians, how should we respond? Machine gun turret on the roof? No. Look at verse 18. The saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. We need to trust God that we're going to be okay. We belong to Him. When He pours His wrath out on the world during the tribulation period, we won't be there. Thessalonians teaches us that we're going to be raptured. We'll be with Jesus during that time period. But what do we do while we're here on earth? We trust God, and then we have a love for those that don't know Him. Try to walk in the light so that they'll ask us, what's going on with you? You're different. Well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He's reconciled me to God, the Father that created me. All I have to do is believe Him. I'm a creep, I'm a sinner, but all I have to do is believe Him and receive His free gift, and I'm reconciled with God. That's incredible good news. So our time on earth right now, that's what we do. We don't watch Fox News and all the news channels and get all worked up. If you guys are doing that, go on a fast. Okay? You can fast the news. It's okay. You can fast food. You can do, not fast food. You can fast fast food. Don't get all worked up. You know, don't. It's okay to be prepared for a disaster. Any disaster, it's a good idea to have food stored. You know, we can get snowed in and all the highways are closed and they can't bring food to Brolin's. That's okay. But worrying about that end times and the Antichrist, God's going to take care of us. We need to worry about our witness right now and trust in Him and just keep walking in the light. So there's the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to stop there. And you know what? It gets better. Gets more interesting, or it continues to be interesting. So read ahead. We're going to stop there.